Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, late night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And to the texter that says, wow, Patrick is wonderful, I would like to thank you. You just gave me a whole new view of the text machine here. Usually it's a cesspool, but that's the first nice text that I've received in weeks here. So thank you very much. I don't consider myself wonderful, but if you do, then that's all that really matters to me. So we'll continue our discussion here on the Celtics, and we will start to mix in some Patriots thoughts as well. As with each passing moment, each passing hour, each passing day, we do inch closer to this AFC Championship game that, quite frankly, a lot of people thought the Patriots wouldn't be in. You can sort of put me in that category. This team has shut me up. And I started the show like this, and I'll say it again right now, a couple hours in. Look, you probably haven't heard me here for the last 4 or 5 days, and that's because I took a little bit of time off. You know, you guys know what I've been dealing with my dad at home and all the personal stuff going on there and trying to do our best for him, but that's very time-consuming, right? That on top of the full-time career that cannot take a hit despite the fact that, you know, I'm dealing with more stuff, the kids, the wife, and, of course, doing this as often as I had been doing it, I was burnt out. And I feel like I took it out on you, and I took it out on the Patriots and Tom Brady specifically on my last show here last week before I had that much-needed four-day weekend in Florida with my best friends running the Disney Marathon weekend. It was awesome, right? And I feel refreshed, and I get a bit of a different perspective. That's why I feel like it sucks tonight that I've had to focus so negatively on the Celtics. But I got to tell you, this three-game losing streak, these three games, Miami, Orlando, and Brooklyn, it's three of the worst games that I can remember in recent history. This is especially when you consider the type of season that this team has had, where it's been such a yo-yo season, so up and down, emotional highs, emotional lows, really second-guessing and doubting the coach. I mean, Brad Stevens, that's a guy that was infallible here for the last 4 years. And suddenly this year, you know, we're questioning his decision-making because you heard Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports in the last hour. And by the way, that'll be available on WEI.com later. He was awesome. But you heard him essentially say that, you know, when it comes to Brad this year, we've had to question some of his decision-making. Some of it just doesn't add up. And, you know, Dan actually said that he feels like Brad has potentially cost this team games this year, cost this team wins this year with some of his decision-making. We've never had to say that before about a Brad Stevens-led team. The hallmark of a Brad Stevens-led team has always been a guy that maximizes the ability and the talent level of the players that he's got. Not this year. You can't sell me on the idea that this year this Celtics team is maximizing the potential of the guys they've got on the roster. And really, there's a few fundamental problems here, and I never thought that Brad would be one of them. But so far, through the first half of this season, you got to put Brad in the problem category. If you're making a Eddie Andelman blame pie here, Brad Stevens has taken up a chunk of that thing. He's taken up 20-25% of that blame pie because ultimately somebody's got to be held accountable here. And you can either hold the entire roster accountable or you can look at the most influential people in the organization that have a hand in the day-to-day of this franchise. And that's Brad Stevens and that's Kyrie Irving. Probably the two most important pieces that Danny Ainge has brought in here over the course of his career. You know, at least post-Big Three career here, okay? So let's take the Big Three era and put that in a box. Since the Big Three have gone away, those two guys are the two best assets that Danny's been able to bring in here. You got Brad Stevens, who is wildly considered the second-best coach, maybe the best coach, one of the top three coaches, a coach that other teams would be willing to give up assets and trade for. Remember, you got a first-round pick for Doc Rivers. So, you know, Brad is thought of that as that next Greg Popovich type, the next great coach in the NBA. This year, though, it's the first year that he's had legit expectations, first year that he's had real talent on the roster, and there is a real chemistry issue on this team. And ultimately, you got to look at Brad when it comes to the chemistry issues on this team. He needs to be able to effectively communicate with his players much more and much better than he has this season. So he's got to take a piece of the blame here. And the other guy is Kyrie Irving. I know that Kyrie, on paper, has been spectacular. You cannot ask of anything more from Kyrie on the basketball court. His numbers are off the charts. He's improved when it comes to not turning the basketball over. He's improved when it comes to his assist-to-turnover ratio. He's averaging a career high in assists. I think he's fourth in the league in real plus-minus. I mean, on paper, he is having a legit spectacular MVP season. But his leadership style has become a real problem here. Because you got to know your audience if you're Kyrie Irving. You got to know the personalities that you're dealing with. And you got to do everything in your power to maximize the ability of your teammates. And he hasn't been doing that this year. Matter of fact, his leadership style, I think, is alienating guys like Jaylen Brown, alienating guys like Terry Rozier. And really, you know, he's pointing the finger at the young guys. And that, to me, is the mark of a weak leader. That's something that LeBron James has done throughout the course of his career, where instead of looking internally at what can I do better, or at least publicly accepting the blame. So in the post-game press conference, saying it's on me, I'm the leader of this team, and then maybe you say something different in a one-on-one situation in the locker room later. But to sort of call these guys out publicly the way that Kyrie has, that to me does not sit well, and that to me is becoming more and more of a problem on this basketball team. Because the only way that this thing is going to turn around is if they start playing for each other. And they start playing with the right energy level, the right effort level, and enjoy playing basketball again. In the first 4 years, and I see the callers there, I'll get to you guys in a minute, I promise. But in the first 4 years under Brad Stevens, one of the hallmarks of this team was the beautiful way in which they played basketball. They attacked it from the defensive end first. On offense, they played for each other. They were fighting for the best shot for their teammates. You know, and I realized that, you know, those shots were taken by Jonas Jerebko and Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford and everybody that made up those rosters. So ultimately, those teams had a ceiling. You knew that they weren't going to compete and contend to really put themselves at a championship level. But at least they play basketball the right way. This team, they only play defense when they want to. They only put effort in when they feel like they have to. So that's why I feel like they'll probably win tomorrow night. They'll be at the Garden, where they've been a great basketball team. They're 15-5 at home right now. You really can't ask for much more than that. And when they play the cream of the crop and they're on national TV, you generally get a legit effort. So that's why the Celtics have beaten some of the best this year. They've beaten Philly. They've beaten Philly twice. Christmas Day, just a spectacular basketball game on Christmas Day. All of these problems that have haunted the Celtics, they weren't there. They beat the Pacers last week. All these problems that haunted the Celtics, they weren't there. They beat the Bucks this year. They beat Toronto this year. I feel like they have a good shot to beat Toronto again tomorrow night because I don't worry about their effort level when they play up to the level of their competition. It's this elitist attitude that I don't recognize in a Brad Stevens team that this team seems to be infected with. And that's what makes them so unlikable, and that's why their ratings are down big time. Their ratings are down bigly. You know, they are. You look at their ratings, they're 44% fewer people watching them on a night-in and night-out basis on NBC Sports Boston as compared to last year. That tells you everything you need to know. The casual fans are not tuning in simply because this team has not been fun to watch. They don't have the same traits and chemistry that we've come to know from Brad Stevens-led led teams. But other than taking a blowtorch to this thing. I want you guys to think about this. Other than taking a blowtorch to this thing and starting over, what options does this team really have in season? I mean, you're serving multiple evils here. You got to win enough games to put yourself in a position to compete in the playoffs, which the Celtics haven't done thus far, sitting in the number five spot right now in the East. They're closer to falling out of the playoff race than they are to first place in the conference. We saw how critically important last year home court advantage is for this team. They don't get out of the first round. They don't beat the Bucks without home court advantage. That is a fact, not opinion. So home court advantage is critical to this team, and they are falling in the wrong direction when it comes to home court advantage. And you got to start looking at these things now. You're halfway through the season. The trade deadline's coming up in a couple of weeks on February 7th. So what do you do? Do you trade away Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown? If you listen to Danny Ainge, I know that, you know, he's one of the world's greatest liars, So you got to take everything he says with a grain of salt. He says that no moves are on the horizon. But that would make some sense if you believe that this team feels like they could be in on an Anthony Davis trade this offseason. So then what do you do? If you're holding out for Anthony Davis to potentially be on the trading block this offseason, does that mean you've got nothing left to improve your team this year? Is there a way to, you know, improve the chemistry on this team this year and finally get this team to start playing for one another and live up to their potential? This is a team that should be one of the top two or three defensive teams in basketball. They should be, but they're not. They're a team that should be able to, with 75% effort, they should have been able to go out there and sweep this road trip. Just giving 75% effort, you should be talented enough to beat Brooklyn. Yes, I know that you were shorthanded. It doesn't matter. There was still enough talent out there to at least compete with the Brooklyn Nets, not get run out of the building in embarrassing fashion in that third quarter. That was one of the most horrific quarters of basketball that my 38-year-old eyes have ever seen. It was disgusting on every level. Disgusting from the fact that Brad refused to call a timeout and just let the Nets continue to pour it on. Disgusting to the fact that the Celtics didn't dig deep in the third quarter. They just let the Nets continue pouring it on. Disgusting in every which way, right? But you should be able to beat Brooklyn. You should be able to beat Orlando. And you should be able to beat Miami with just giving a 75% effort. Instead, you get swept. And you wonder why Celtics fans aren't tuning in. You get swept. And you wonder why Celtics fans are saying 61% of you out of 33,000 in this poll online today say that Kyrie Irving should be traded. That's surprising. That's crazy. And that's something that I never thought we'd have to talk about here. But here we are. The Celtics are probably the most disappointing team in professional sports in 2018-2019. That's their identity right now. It's not the identity I wanted for this team, but it's the identity that they've earned so far this season. It is Sports Radio, WEI. I see the callers on the line. When we come back, we'll get to each and every one of you guys at 617-779-7937. It is late night right here at Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. We'll make our way together tonight up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Let's get right back out to these calls. Let's go to Lee. Lee's in New York. Lee, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, it's nice to have you back, Patrick. I'm glad the marathon went well. Did you get to ride a little Soarin', a little Avatar test track?
Yeah, so the next day we had hopper passes to go through all of them, so we hit the best of each park the next day. Legs were sore, though, man. I got to tell you, you know, walking through Disney, you walk miles and miles and miles anyways, but we had to do it. So, yeah, it was awesome. And Soarin' is pretty badass, but Pandora is, like, life-changing badass. It's great.
Is that right? Isn't that wild? Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you back, and I hope your dad has shown some improvement, too.
I appreciate it, man.
So you stole a little bit of my thunder, but, you know, when you're talking about the possible solutions to this team, I don't know where you start, because it's like a virus that's through the whole team. You, other than the two Marcuses, you feel like, you know, Terry can't really shoot much anymore. Jalen can't handle the ball again. He's regressed. You know, Tatum's still up and down. Not terrible, but Gordon, I don't expect him to be a max player, but, I mean, not even above average. I mean, it's almost sad watching him on the court. So now you've come to Kyrie, which, if you remember, I called you back in December, and I wondered if this guy was really the right leader for the Boston Celtics. And I feel like he's almost stolen a little bit of Stephen's swagger. He starts to challenge him now, which hasn't happened since Stevens has been here. Maybe he's lost a little bit of that in the locker room. He won't give up on the style of play that they're doing, which I think they got to give in a little bit, that they can't count on the three all the time. But it's just a mess. So I don't know where you start other than taking the core problem out, which is removing Kyrie from the equation. To me, you package him. The ratings are down. It's for good reason. They're terrible to watch. The Patriots have to win this weekend because I can't have only the Celtics to watch because they're just dreadful. So, you know what? If it means I'm not a finals contender, but I can have a similar exciting playoff run, I'd rather take that and go after Anthony Davis in the offseason.
It's a good point, man. And, you know, I feel like I'm coming to that same level that you're at right now. And that's the frustrating part here. You know, if you look at my show notes today, I came in here and I always write it's essentially a full page outline with my notes and then a goal. And my goal tonight was to figure out, you know, essentially a simple solution to at least making the Celtics watchable again, if not fixing them, you know, fixing some of their problems. But there isn't an easy solution. I'll tell you right now, you know, Aaron Baines is going to come back. I feel like his emergence on this team is going to help them defensively. It's going to help Al Horford hide some of his deficiencies. But is that going to change their style of play? It's not. You know, if you take Marcus Morris out of the starting lineup because the bench needs some additional help, and you reinsert Gordon Hayward into that starting lineup, is that going to help this team? Probably not. And I feel like when you talk about Gordon Hayward, it's a two-part problem. A, it's sad watching him right now. I agree with you there. But B, look at his teammates. There is a level of frustration when Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward share the floor together, or Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward share the floor together, because they know that Gordon isn't able to do the things that he needs to do. And it's no longer about sympathy for Gordon or helping Gordon sort of get through this stretch. They're legitimately frustrated and getting angry because they feel like it's almost 5-on-4 at times when they're out there with Gordon Hayward.
Right.
You know, it's sad.
It really is. I mean, I thought after that 30-point outburst where he was just lights out that night, I'm okay. You know, now he's got some hops that night. He's right there, but it just was not able to build on that. So, I mean, the one thing that kills me with Kyrie is I know that one thing we really need is if we are competitive in these games, he's the guy you need in that last, 3 minutes to make those, ridiculous shots. But I just don't know if he's worth watching. I don't know if he's too much trouble.
It's a real problem right now, and there isn't an easy solution. Again, he's an impending free agent, so even if you wanted to trade him right now, you're taking 50 cents on the dollar. It's a problem. And Danny Ainge has got his work cut out for him. Lee, listen, I appreciate the kind words and the phone call here. The number to join us here on Late Night Tonight is 617-779-7937. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is WEEI talking about the Celtics, trying to figure out if there is a way out of this mess without completely blowing it up, without making franchise-altering moves. Is there a tweak that can be made? You know, Kyrie Irving to start the season. Remember, the Celtics were showing some cracks in the armor as early as 2-3 weeks in. And Kyrie comes out and he says, you know, this team, we're missing a 14-15-year vet. Well, I've called for this guy time and time again, and I feel like there is the potential that he could help this Celtics team. You know, he trade away a Terry Rozier. The Suns have been looking for Terry Rozier. They've wanted him for a couple of years now. The Suns brought in Jamal Crawford to start the season at 38 years old. I don't think that Jamal Crawford's going to finish the season in Phoenix because, you know, he's a veteran piece that could be a vital piece to a championship contender. Generally, those guys get moved and or waived at some point so they can latch on with a contender. Now, I know that he's a short-term fix. He's not going to be here, you know, beyond this year, and you're giving up an asset with some talent in Terry Rozier for a guy that's going to be here for a few months, but maybe a Rozier for Jamal Crawford move is something that would help this team because it helps fix your bench scoring problems, and it brings you another veteran piece. But again, you know, I'm not sure that there is one or two moves that can be made here that will ultimately fix this team enough to get them back to where we thought they were going to be. And if they're not competing to get to the finals, and if they're not competing to take their next step in their progression as a team, you know, two consecutive years to the conference finals with very different teams, that's great for the Boston Celtics as an organization. But if you're stagnant and you're essentially, you keep hitting that ceiling of the conference finals, yet you can't break through, then what are you really doing? You know, that's the ultimate end game here is to win their 18th championship. And this, to me, this team this year, I mean, it would take a comeback and a turnaround of historic proportions for this team to find a way to compete for a championship. When I say compete for, I mean represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. At this point, my level of trust and faith in their ability to make that happen is at an all-time low. And you know, my buddy Will on Twitter sent me a message the other day. And look, yeah, we share a lot of the same opinions when it comes to Boston sports, and he's one of my favorite follows. But you know, he said, Gilroy, you got to relax here. This Celtics team reminds me of the 2011 Celtics that, you know, essentially were a 500 team for long stretches of that season. And then they flipped a switch and made it to Game 7 of the NBA Finals and probably should have won the championship 2010-2011. And nobody thought that that team would have that in their tank and have the ability to do that because they were so wildly disappointing and up and down and inconsistent and frustrating throughout the regular season. But the difference here is that team still had a core that was just a couple years removed from winning a championship. That team was still, you know, in the sort of the outer skirts of their championship contending years. And they had veteran Hall of Famers who were still playing at a high enough level where they had something left in the tank, they could turn it on in the playoffs. Do you really trust that this team is going to find a way to turn it on? What experience are they going to draw on to turn it on when the playoffs come about? That's a problem here. You know, Kyrie Irving, sure, he's got championship experience. Aaron Baines has got championship experience. But short of those guys, who are you going to lean on if you're the Boston Celtics to begin the cultural turnaround? Because it isn't just a turnaround on the court. It's a cultural turnaround that needs to take place here. Somebody's going to take responsibility for this thing and lead this Celtics team through this dark patch and into the light. I'm just not sure there's a personality on this team that's strong enough, trusted enough, or loved enough in that locker room where these guys would be willing to follow them and essentially suck up their personal pride and do what's best for the Boston Celtics. I don't think that guy exists on that roster, and that's a very sad statement considering this is a team that over the last 4 years has built itself up on the right people, the right personalities, the right character guys. This team is missing those character guys right now, and it shows. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Continuing with your phone calls, let's go to Mike. Mike's in Chicopee. Mike, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, what's going on, Patrick?
What's happening, Mikey?
I'll turn around and I'll agree with you that Kyrie is not turning around and doing very good with the Celtics. He's turned around and He's tried some more controversy than anything else, but I was actually calling up about the Patriots.
Yeah, that's okay. Let's do it.
The Patriots, I've seen more fire out of them this week than I've ever seen them in this whole season.
Yep, I agree with you there.
You know, I mean, the defense was on fire. They were attacking like there was no tomorrow, and there was... The offense was attacking like there's no tomorrow. I actually believe that we have an actually good chance of going into KC and possibly pulling out a win. I know it's far cry. Don't get me wrong. You know, I am not just a homer, but with the fire that they had this week,
yeah,
I was pretty impressed.
They got to duplicate the emotional fire they had, and you're right about that, Mike. And it's difficult to do on the road, but again, the Patriots with their history that they've got going for them, the experience that they've got going for them, I hope that, again, the key to this whole thing, in my opinion, is preventing KC from going up by multiple scores in the first quarter. So you keep this game close, and then you draw on that experience as the game gets tight and tight and tight and tighter going into that fourth quarter. If it's a three-point game, the seven-point game, I feel like the Patriots are in a very good spot there to potentially come out of there with a win. But to your point, all right, and here's the thing that's changed. The view of this team has completely changed in just 1 week. Everybody went from being down on this team, essentially zero faith that they were going to be able to flip that switch and put themselves in a position to potentially be able to compete to even be in this position, to, I've heard, the majority of callers today to both stations, not so much the host, but the callers, suddenly are feeling very optimistic about the Patriots' chances to win on the road, which is so incredibly difficult to do in general in the AFC Championship game, but then to win on the road in one of the most difficult atmospheres to win in at all in the NFL, and Patriots fans feel like it's a real possibility. That alone is a huge change in the narrative here. It really is. And I realize that we are sort of a victim to falling for the most recent thing that we've seen. So maybe I'm being more difficult on the Celtics tonight than I should be, because the most recent thing that I've seen is three of the most disgusting basketball games that my eyes have ever seen in 38 years of watching this game. Three consecutive games that want to make you throw up in your mouth and turn the TV off and never turn it back on again. A game in Orlando that I looked forward to going to since we signed up for the marathon a year ago. You know, and you get there and the Celtics give away opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. They could have put their foot on the throat of the Magic in the first half. And instead, at the end of the first half, I looked at my buddy and I said, the Magic are going to win this game. They're letting the home team stick around. It's the oldest adage in the NBA. You know, you let the lesser team stick around. They feel confident about themselves, especially when that lesser team is at home. You're begging for a loss. You are begging the basketball gods to give you the big FU. That's exactly what happened. You know, and the Celtics, they didn't seem to care. They were more interested in blaming each other, blaming their coach, than figuring out what the hell went wrong. That, to me, is troubling here. You know, and you know, you got all these situations with these teams here. You got one team in the Patriots where suddenly everybody is super optimistic about their chances of reaching another Super Bowl. The complete narrative surrounding this year's edition of the Patriots has changed, and it's changed in, what, 72 hours' time. Meanwhile, the narrative of the Celtics, a team that was the chosen team to reach the NBA Finals, that narrative has changed as well. Now, this is a team here, we're talking about trading Kyrie Irving, a change of the head coach, a blowing up of the roster, a team that's impossible to enjoy watching. It's amazing how perspective changes in relatively short periods of time. It is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Again, if you're on the line, stay on the line. We will get to all your phone calls tonight as it's a full four-hour late-night experience. We'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. It is late night right here at Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you. We'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here tonight is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. It's been a NBA Celtics sort of dominated program tonight, but you know, we will welcome in your Patriots thoughts here. As, you know, it's officially, it's after midnight. We're approaching 1 o'clock in the morning. It's another day closer to the AFC championship game. And, you know, there's so many sort of thoughts that run through your mind if you're a Patriots fan. One of the things that I couldn't help but think about during the Patriots dismantling over the weekend of the Chargers was, were we watching Gronk's final game in Foxborough? Yeah, I really think that there's something to these rumors that he could potentially retire at the season's end. Whether the season ends this weekend, you know, with a loss in the AFC Championship game, or whether it ends in a few weeks with another Super Bowl victory. And I realize that, you know, Gronk dominated when it came to blocking. He was dominant in that phase of the game. But that's not where he made his name from. That's not why, for a guy who's ultimately going to retire, having had a relatively short career, he's still going to be in consideration as a first ballot type Hall of Famer. I'm not sure he'll get there, but strong, strong, strong consideration. He has been as dominant as they come. He's been an enjoyable personality. He's been affable to the media. He's the total complete package. He's got the Super Bowl victories. You know, there's the one thing that will be lacking is essentially the overall numbers, because whether he retires this year or next year, ultimately his career is going to be cut short because of all the injuries that he's had to deal with. But I was overcome with a sense of sort of sadness. You know, I realized that Tom Brady is not done, and I get that. You know, barring some sort of substantial devastating injury to Tom in the next year or two, he's going to keep on coming back, and as long as the Patriots will have him, he's going to be here for the foreseeable future. But watching Brady essentially without Gronk, or without the hope of Gronk's eventual return, because in years where Gronk has missed extended time with injuries, he was always talked about as, you know, when Gronk comes back, when Gronk's back on the field. That might not be the case any longer after this year. And it was frustrating because his one catch was vintage Gronk. I mean, he dragged multiple defenders with him. That's what's been missing all year long. But clearly, Tom knows, Belichick knows, and Gronk knows that those moments are few and far between. If he was still capable of being that guy consistently, he would be that guy consistently. He's been on the field. So there's been this steep decline in his ability to be a weapon offensively. And if Gronk's not out there having fun, scoring touchdowns, spiking the ball, I'm just not sure that it's worth it to him. He's not a guy that needs the money. He's not a guy that essentially needs additional fame. He's a guy that has got post-playing career aspirations. But there's another element here to this whole thing, and we'll get into this coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. And you know, it's something that I really would like your opinion on here, because when I think of Gronk at 29, he'll be 30 next year. I don't think he's totally done playing football, but I think he's done playing football at the highest level. So if I were a betting man, and there might be prop bets available for this if Gronk does retire, we're about 1 year away. So 2020, the XFL is coming back. And I truly believe that Gronk will take a year off and that Vince McMahon will make him an offer that he can't refuse to come back and play football in the XFL and potentially wrestle, like a two-way deal with the WWE and the XFL. Because the one thing that the XFL was lacking 20 years ago when it came in, besides credibility, besides an audience, was a marquee talent, a marquee star to draw in the casual football fan. And I feel like Gronk is made, he's wired to be the face of something. He could certainly sell that product better than anybody they had previously selling that product. So when the XFL finally makes their return next year, I feel like he would be the perfect guy to headline the XFL. And he'd come in, he'd be the guy that sells it for a year or two. Because the competition is so much lesser, there's such a decline in talent compared to the NFL, you feel like Gronk could come back and be dominant. He could be Gronk again. And he would have the opportunity to wrestle while working for Vince McMahon. So those pieces sort of add up very nicely when you look at the situation and remove yourself as a Patriots fan and just look at it realistically. Look at his age, look at his abilities that have declined this year, and look at the future that he sees for himself. Again, he's turning 30 next year. He's got a lifetime of earning opportunity ahead of him. But at 30 years old, it's also very, very hard to permanently walk away from a sport that you dominated for so long. And I'm just curious, I mean, am I crazy here? We haven't really heard too many rumors sort of connecting Gronk with the XFL. We've heard the rumors connecting Gronk with the WWE, but those two are becoming one in the same. And I wonder if there's a lump sum of money that Vince McMahon could throw at Gronk to be the face of their new football league. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to these phones. Let's go to Barry. Barry's in Burlington. Barry, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Barry. What's on your mind, man?
Not much. I was down in Orlando, too.
Oh, you were? Would you run the marathon?
The half.
Awesome. Awesome.
I'm only half crazy.
it's fun, though. I mean, so I've done a bunch of halves and a couple of fulls, and it's crazy that I find this and that people find it enjoyable, but it's like we like the torture.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I finished the half, and I was walking through the parking lot, and stumbling like a 95-year-old man, to my car, and I leaned against the car, and I saw a bumper sticker, and I said, I'm 13.1. I'm only half crazy. So, but you did the full. So how do your legs feel today?
They're getting better every day. They're better today than they were yesterday, and so on and so forth. I've got a little bit of experience with this. So I ran the Marine Corps Marathon 3 years ago and Chicago 4 years ago. The big difference for me, though, this year was I didn't train the way that I should have because I've been dealing with things at home, my dad being ill and whatnot. I couldn't commit to the training the way that I should have. So I'm sore, but ultimately I feel pretty good about the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, as somebody who lost their dad, I listen to you all the time, just so you know, at night. I don't have a TV. I'm one of these weird people. I listen to the radio all the time, and I know what you're going through with your dad. And I lost my dad 6-7 years ago. So all I can say is every minute that you can spend with your dad, I know you have a career and you have a wife and kids and all that, every minute you can spend with your dad is more important than anything else.
No, so. You're right. You're right about that. And that's, we make them the priority. And the way that I sort of look at it, Barry, is I sort of had that way of thinking the last 10 years or so. So my dad, 4 or 5 years ago, bought a house close to me, moved up close to me, and he was healthy at the time. And so he became more of a friend. He was 67 at the time, 66. I was in my mid-30s. He became more of a friend than a father figure at that point because he was so close to me, and we spent a lot of time together. So at least I feel like when he does eventually pass away, there will be no guilt. I won't have regrets about potentially, wishing I had done this or spent more time with him. We've gone to Celtics games. I cut his lawn every week, hung out with him watching Patriots games. Just he's been a part of my life for a long time. But now, the urgency certainly is there, and it sucks. There's no getting around the fact that it sucks.
Oh, it sucks. That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
So I know you're more of a Celtics guy. I'm a hockey guy.
Okay.
And The Bruins-Canadians last night was incredible hockey. When I mean, I watched it on TV. I wish I was there. But incredible hockey. It was like playoff hockey. They were killing each other. It was awesome. They went in overtime. I know they lost, but whatever. So moving on to the Celtics, I think Danny Ainge is a genius because he's been building this. You know, we had all these trades from the big three, and we had, you know, the Cleveland trade, you know, 2 years ago. I think everything is good as far as the Celtics are concerned. And we have waited so many years to get to where we are now. It's just sad what's going on with the Celtics.
Well, that's the thing. Danny Ainge assembled. He assembled a good team. It just hasn't fit together.
And we're there now, and it's not good.
No, it's not good at all, Barry. And I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for the kind words, man. And your legs will get better. I promise you. The jelly legs that they'll go away in a couple of days. But no, it sucks. I mean, Danny Ainge built a good team. He built a contending team. He built a team that is worthy of what Las Vegas said they were going to be, and it hasn't fit together. The pieces have not come together, and the worst part is not only the results on the floor. Like, again, I can live with losing. As a Celtics fan at my age, when you think about my age and you do a little bit of simple subtraction, you realize that, you know, I turned 12, which is really when I watched every game religiously, you know, 11, 12 years old. And that was at the very end of Larry Bird's career, literally his last year in 92. And I was there for the transition to Reggie Lewis and watching each and every game and falling in love with Reggie Lewis and Dee Brown and that Celtics team, Kevin Gamble, and really thinking that that team could elevate themselves and at least keep the Celtics in contention while they waited for another piece to come and join Reggie Lewis. And then ultimately, you know, that didn't happen because Reggie passed away. But that's okay, because now the Celtics had Sherm Douglas and Dino Raja, and all was going to be okay. Ala Abdel Nabi was going to make a difference for that team. And that team sucked. And then Todd Day and Blue Edwards got here, and those teams sucked. And then Rick Pitino got here, and those teams sucked. And then Jim O'Brien got here, and we got a small taste of winning, and then quickly went back to sucking again. You know, the Celtics didn't get good for a very long time, but I stuck with them. I can live with losing as long as we're losing towards something, as long as they're playing the right way when they're losing. If you're losing because of lack of talent, I'm okay with it. But this team doesn't have that excuse. This team is losing because of lack of effort, lack of character, a team that is not worthy of wearing the Celtics uniform, a team that is not worthy of playing under those banners. That's what they're playing like this year. They're playing like a bunch of spoiled sons of bitches, and that is a problem for me because I have the king excuse maker for the Celtics, King Green Teamer, a guy that has got no problem, unapologetic, wearing, I literally have Celtics footy pajamas. I've got an adult onesie. Okay, and I'm not ashamed to say it. It's a Celtics-themed adult onesie, and I used to wear it with pride. And now it's sitting at the back of my closet. I can't even stomach the thought of putting that thing on right now. And it's frustrating because, again, as a lifelong Celtics fan, losing is not the issue. It's the way that this team is playing, the way that this team is losing, the lack of Celtic pride. To make it sound corny, it's the lack of Celtic pride. It is the lack of giving a you-know-what on a night-in and night-out basis. And there's nothing that I hate worse in sports than excuse-making. I just find it completely hollow. It's see-through. It means nothing to me. I've listened to athletes make excuses for a lifetime. And this Celtics team has been full of one thing consistently this year, and that's excuse-making. It started with game one and too much talent, and all the way down to now, it's Kyrie blowing off the coach, and it's Jaylen Brown. He's too sensitive. He doesn't like the way that Kyrie talks down to the team. But, hey, Jason Tatum, he thinks that Kyrie's right. He should call them out more often. It is just a bunch of excuse-making, a bunch of BS, and they don't play hard defensively. They don't play for each other. They have nothing in common with the Celtics teams that Brad Stevens has led the last 4 years. I hope it can change. I'm hopeful that they will change because I'm a sucker. I'm going to tune in tomorrow night. Just because, you know, I'm angry at the way they're playing, just because, you know, I'm a card-carrying Green Teamer that is disenfranchised right now, doesn't mean that I don't hold out hope for the future. That's the thing here. As a Celtics fan, I'll tune in, and I'll tune in to each and every game and hope that tomorrow night is the night that starts their rebuild, that starts their turnaround, that they wake up and realize the opportunity that they're squandering. I'm just not sure it's going to happen. As I've gotten older, I've been more of a realist, and the realist in me tells me that this team is what they are, and that's just not very good, very likable, very fun to watch, or a team that's worthy of wearing that Celtics uniform. It is Sports Radio, WEI, 3 hours down, 1 hour to go. When we come back, we'll continue to mix in your Celtics thoughts. You got Patriots thoughts, Patriots in Kansas City this weekend. How are you feeling at this stage of the week? You know, I feel like the euphoria of last weekend has begun to wear off. The instant satisfaction and gratification that comes with a thrilling win, a blowout win, just an awesome, dominant, vintage Tom Brady performance, that starts to wear off at this point in the week, and reality starts to set in. The fact is, you're playing the team that's been the best team in football this year against the best quarterback in football this year in the toughest place to play in football. Is that a recipe for success? What is your sort of level right now of optimism when it comes to the Patriots? We'll mix those thoughts in as well as we make our way through the final hour of the program right here on Sports Radio WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.